Shalom everyone, and this today we're going to study Parashat Vayitchanan, the book of Dvarim, Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verse 23. And Parashat Vayitchanan is a very, very loaded parasha, very important, full of healing, especially healing, because Parashat Vayitchanan is always being read on Shabbat Nachamu. Nachamu, Nachamu, that's from Isaiah chapter 40, which is the Haftarah, the reading that is being read on Shabbat, this Shabbat, after the end of reading the parasha, there's reading of Shabbat, of the parashat Nachamu, the Haftarat Nachamu, in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1 till verse 26. Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. Nachamu means consolation. This is the opening of 7 weeks of consolation following the ninth of Av. Especially this Shabbat, when the moment we hear the word Nachamu, Nechama, consolation, and I don't know how exact consolation is as a translation to Nechama, Nachamu, but it is a very crucial concept in every person's life, the ability to receive, to achieve, to gain Nechama, consolation. What does it mean? We learned for 3 weeks of the Bein HaMetzarim, the 3 weeks of judgments, that we have, as human beings, we must go through pain and sorrow. It's part of our lives. And the question is, what do we do with it? How can we reach a place of nechama, consolation, which is a must in a person's tikkun, correction, in order for anybody's soul to reach completion, as we're going to read, we must achieve nechama. And nechama is the ability of a human being to overcome pain and to heal that pain. This is so important because without it, without consolation, without nechama, there's no healing and there's no completion and there's no correction, no nechama, no tikkun. Which means as long as we carry on any kind of grudge, not just about the person, about ourselves, about, you know, we are very upset about stuff. You know, psychologists for decades made a lot of money from people talking about their pain or grudge or whatever, a negative feeling they were carrying, people are carrying with them since they can remember. And a lot of people do not allow life to move on as long as they hold on to past pain. And the question is, human beings, how do they get rid of that pain? Because that pain is what holds us back. This pain is what makes us stay children, which means in a process of growing up, becoming adults, becoming creators of our own life. As long as we are not willing to give up grudge and pain and memories of pain, as long as we can still relate to it, as these pains are still minimizing, still vandalizing our current life, as long as we hold on to that, it's impossible to reveal the real completion that the human soul is yearning so much to achieve. And this is basically so counterproductive, because as human beings, we are here not to have an easy, comfortable, simple life. I don't know if somebody's hurt for what I'm just saying. I'm going to again show the news, introduce you the news. We as human beings, we are not here to have easy, simple, comfortable life. No, we are not. Whoever thought about it, who was raised somehow with the wrong belief systems. We as human beings, we came to this world to make a tikkun, a correction. And if it's not broken, you cannot fix it. And if it's not painful, you cannot heal it. You cannot console it. We here in this world to create something out of broken stuff. We are in the world of the broken vessels. And without the access to pain, suffering, abuse, injustice, disappointment, without experiencing that, we will never be able to grow higher and achieve our tikkun. So the moment we see, especially we see in our era, and especially in this age, we see people dealing with pain, sorrow, injustice, and anything of discomfort, and it's like a shock, like, how did that happen to me? And if you're not ready to understand that this is life, this is part of life, this is intrinsic to life. Without the pain, there's no growing pain, there's no growing. Without the negativity, there's no revelation. There's no, without darkness, there's no light. And now the question is, how do we learn to console, to move up? This is the hardest thing. I admit, it's the hardest thing for every human being, especially for spiritual people, because non-spiritual people, they look at pain as, you know, that's part of the makeup of most people's life. It's about hatred, it's about grudge, it's about disillusions, it's about, you know, people who betrayed us, it's about pain, physical, emotional pain that was inflicted upon us because of abuse, because of injustice. Without that, there's no life. Okay, we cannot create a life that has no pain. No pain, no gain. We have to remember that. So let's start with this parasha. We see from the text how this is not just presented to us, but the medication, the remedies are packaged all over this week, including this Shabbat. We know there's an old Jewish saying that the Creator always prepares the remedy wherever there is a disease, wherever there is a bruise, I'm sorry. Wherever there is a bruise, there is a remedy. So we have to understand that it's all included over here. Why? Because Parashat Vayitchanan of this week is always after the ninth of Av. After the most negative day of the year, the day that, like, it looks like whoever studies, all pain, sorrow, and feelings of injustice all year long, they get it from the ninth day of Av. Because that's the day of the snake. That is the core source of any pain of injustice. And now, especially when we were promised for so many years that if we just, you know, do the right stuff, which means be nice and honest and so on and so forth, we were promised in the kindergarten, then in elementary school, then later on high school and university, that you just be a nice person and you just do what society is telling you, you're going to have a nice life. And we look around and we see how the big institutions of society of the last 70 years and more since World War II are crumbling, falling apart in front of our eyes. Yes, I was speaking about it the last more than a decade, but it's now so obvious that you see in front of your eyes that whatever we believed, that the world is coming to a place of world peace, globalization, and the whole world is one global village, and humans are just, you know, the human brotherhood, and so on and so forth, that was just hypocrite for so many years. Yes, there were countries of which there was better education, better economy, better healthcare. Everything was better. The value of life was very high and so on. But all of that was in one condition, that you look the other way when you heard about atrocities happening outside what we call the first world. And you know, how long could you look aside till it hits you? You know, when the September 11, when the World Trade Center has been destroyed, the world woke up and realized there's a whole terror state called Afghanistan and Iraq and so on and so forth. And did anybody, that was it? No, it was there all the time. People just started to suffer on that time? No. It's like we looked the other way and there was a genocide happening, let's say in the 70s in Vietnam and Cambodia, or later on in during the 90s in Somalia and in Rwanda and stuff like this. We just went on with our business. We thought that we'll never come to our secure cities and states in the first world. And I believe most of the people listening to this, they live in the first world. And you can't, the world, if you really want to ask yourself, how come that surfaced in the first world? And the answer is very simple. The moment you behave with hypocrisy and you think, oh, you can live a very high life standard, when people, it's like how many times you look at something that came, was made in China, cost a few pennies, and you ask how many people you had to kill in China in order to make it so cheap. And nobody was asking the question. And what about the pollution? Ah, pollution. That was not created with green energy. All of that stuff that the whole world was addicted to that came from China. Okay, so what are we talking about? And then you see people coming from China, from India. And I saw people coming to Jerusalem from China and India. And they say, wow, we can see blue sky because in our hometown, the sky are always dark and full of smoke. And we have to understand, we have a long way to go. And the fact that we have had an illusion that our lives are going to be just much better, and we simply ignored that most of humanity, they're not in the same page at all. And now, so it hits in our face, and we realize that the third, fourth world is invading into the first world, and we have to deal with that. And it's not just this, it's the invasion of pain, the invasion of disorder, the invasion of injustice and abuse, that we just ignored, not that it didn't exist. We simply went our own way and we looked the other way and we didn't recognize, just being brainwashed, that everything is okay, everything is going to be even better. Don't wake up. And meanwhile, we're waking up and we realize that there's no justice, there's no equality. And even in countries that are so advanced, suddenly you see people that are so rich and abusing the rights of the people working for them everywhere around the world. And where is democracy? Where is equality? Where is the global village? Everybody was preaching to us. So the question is, how do we deal with the pain when we thought that we live in a safe, secure, beautiful bubble, that everything was like full of unicorns and I don't know what else, and Disney movies, and this is not what life is about. And we have to take responsibility for bigger issues than just paying the bills for all the lifestyle that we achieve and we are dreaming about, you know, a nice oven, a nice expensive oven, a nice expensive car, and you know, everybody with his own stuff. And somebody has to pay all of that stuff. And the question is, can we really afford it? So when we come to this parasha, it's all about, as we said, consolation. And consolation is the key for our ability to open our eyes and to really be able to perceive the responsibility that we have towards our everyday life and towards humanity. So when we start the parasha, the name of the parasha is Va'etchanan, and I implored. Moses is telling, remember, the beginning of the book of Deuteronomy, we just started last week, was Moses presenting to his nation that he was leading for the last 40 years. He's now basically giving us his own eulogy. He's not letting us to do the eulogy. He doesn't count on us. He is giving us the speech of his life before he goes up to the Creator. So for 5 weeks, he is giving us this lesson that is called the book of Deuteronomy, Dvarim or Mishne Torah, the repetition of the Torah. And these words are the fifth volume of the five books of Moses. So in this parasha, it starts with, I implore to God, that time, Adonai Elohim, the Lord God, Ata chilot alarot et avdecha et godlecha, and he's praying to God, and the legend says that he prayed for 515 times to God, saying, please let me enter the Holy Land. And the simple translation of these words, we learn it so many times, is that God says, don't speak to me anymore, and not in this issue, I don't want to hear it anymore. Okay? So that sounds horrible. Here we're talking about Moses. Who is Moses? He is the person that sacrificed his life, his privacy, his spirituality, everything, in order to be a leader. And I don't know if you know, but being a leader is not easy. Not just it's not easy, be a leader of a Jewish nation, that's beyond not easy. It's like, it doesn't matter if you think about what Moses did. He brought the 10 plagues. He took a nation of slaves out of slavery into freedom. Not just this, he fed everyone with the manna that healed everybody. Okay, there was a pillar of smoke and a pillar of fire, and they were protected by the clouds of protection with the merit of Aaron and with the merit of Miriam. He Aaron, the brother of Moses, and Miriam, the sister, she brought them water, and they were living a life free of worries. And if you read the Torah, full of complaints, no appreciation whatsoever. That was not so easy, okay? And now, what does he want? He wants just to be in the promised land that he brought them to and to experience it himself. And the answer is, no, you can't. So if that was the answer to Moses' prayer, and who am I that I can pray to God? And, you know, what did I do for that? You know, Moses, what he didn't do, okay? He reached levels that no human being has ever reached before and or after. So how can I tell myself, okay, you know, why should I pray? Moses prayed and the answer was no. And what about me? Who am I to pray? The Zohar is giving us another approach. And we'll see Rashi is giving us a hint. As we know, Rashi knew the Zohar, but at that time, he couldn't quote the Zohar. Usually, when Rashi wants to bring an idea from the Zohar, he brings first a simple and simplistic idea that is belonging to the physical logic, and then he brings and he says, Perush acher, davar acher, another explanation, another commentary. And that usually hints about the Zohar. In our case, he says, Davar Acher, Rashi, in his commentary on verse 26 of the chapter 3 of Deuteronomy, Davar Acher, Rav Lach, Harbe Mize Shamur Lecha, Rav Tuv Atzafun Lecha. There's so much. There's so much for you. There's so much treasured for you. And the Zohar is giving us even a deeper explanation, because Rashi is just hinting it. And what does he say? Okay, we read it in Parashat V'etchanan in Pirush HaSulam, the Sulam commentary of Rabbi Ashlag, verse 15. Vayomer Hashem elai rav lach al tosef. Amar Rabbi Chiya, amar lei kutsha b'irchu le-Moshe, Moshe rav lach, dizavgat b'shchinta, mikan ola al tosef. Rabbi Yitzchak amar, rav lach b'inhiru d'shimsha d'hava gabach, al tosef. דה זימנה דסיירה מתה, וסיירה לא יחילה נרה, עד יתקני שימשה. אבל וצו את יהושע וחזקיה ואמצאו, אנ דהו שימשה באיל הנרה לסיירה והיתמר. I'll translate, but this is a key to understand our lives. And, you know, I wish that we really perceive to the depths of these words, because if we really can understand these words to the utmost ability, we can achieve so much consolation, so much removal of pain, so much freedom that we can't even imagine. Where can we go when we understand deeply the meanings of these words? So listen carefully. So God says to Moses, Rav Lach means you have so much Rav. Literally, Rav means a lot, greatness. Okay? So when you say about somebody who's a rabbi, Rav, okay, he is a great person. Okay? That's the meaning. When you tell somebody Rav Lach, means you achieved greatness. You have a lot. That was the simple meaning In Hebrew, Rav Lach. Okay? And what does it mean, Rav Lach? So the Zohar adds, Shenitchabarta Bashchina. You are mating, connecting with the Divine Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Like, where can you go as a human being higher than that? Moses is called in the Zohar so many times the husband of the Shekhinah. Okay? Mikan ulehala. So from what else do you want? It's like God is saying to Moses, what else do you want to receive? There's nothing greater than you can receive. Rav Lach. You have so much. Which means, why am I saying this is so important to understand? Many people suffer aimlessly just because they cannot tell the difference between a goal, their real goal in life, and means. Okay? What is the goal? And the story over here is very simple. The goal, Rav Lach Be'or HaShemesh, Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Rav Lach Be'or HaShemesh Haya Etzlecha. You achieved light, that your light is shining like the light of the sun. Okay? However, Al Tosef, do not add upon it. Why? Because it's time for the sun to set, so the moon can shine. And the stars. Who is the moon and the stars? Joshua and the nation of Israel. As long as you, Moses, is leading the nation, your light diminishes everybody else's light. They can't really step up. They cannot really shine as long as you, Moses, is running the show. Now, if you want, what do you want? You want to go to the Holy Land. Why do you want to go to the Holy Land? Because you really want to achieve holiness. Okay? If you want to achieve holiness, God is telling Moses, you already achieved that without the Holy Land. The Holy Land is not going to add up to the levels of holiness you've already achieved. Which means, what is our purpose in life? Moses is mentioning that in amazing, because every verse almost in this parasha is not just a verse from the Bible. It's in common Hebrew, a slogan, something that people repeat as that's what life is about. One of them, for instance, is chapter 4, verse 4. Ve'atem hadvekim ba'adonai Elohechem chayim kulchem hayom. Moses is speaking about all kinds of trials and tribulations that the nations of Israel was going through. And he says, and you, the ones who attach to the Creator, your God, you all alive, you're all alive today. The sages are saying, Reshaim b'chayehem nikraim metim. Wicked people, evil people, are considered to be dead while they're still physically alive. What does that mean? And the answer is very simple. We, as human beings, we're here to make a correction. We fell with the broken vessels into a reality that is full of contradictions, paradoxes, confusions, chaos, misunderstanding, injustice. Shortly, it's called the universe of the broken vessels. This universe is made solely by broken vessels. We are here to fix and mend those vessels. How do we fix them? How do we mend them? So every professional person in every aspect of professionalism knows that when you're being called to get a job, you have to make a you have to diagnose what is broken, what has to be fixed, what has to be mended. But before you have to watch it and to see and to realize how broken it is, and from there to ask yourself, how did that get broken? So how can I mend and fix it? And that's how you make a living, by fixing what is broken. Okay? We as human beings, we are supposed to be professionals. And being a professional is, first of all, is fixing the broken vessels. And what is the issue of the broken vessels? So when we hear to fix the broken vessels, the only way to fix it is to see it's broken. And when you see it's broken, when you connect to the lack, to the pain, to the misery, to the suffering, that's how we do it. But how do we mend what is broken? And the way Rabbi Ashlag is teaching us, what is broken? The moment a vessel is connected to its core, which is desire to receive, which is the primordial form of every vessel, there's a problem, innate problem in that, because the moment it's a desire to receive, it is the farthest form of energy from the light of the Creator. Why? Because the light of the Creator is endless sharing. When we want to receive, that's finite and that's receiving. And according to the law of affinity, two forms of spiritual energy, the more different they are from each other, the farther away they are from each other, and there's no communication. So, being why somebody was wicked, what do I mean wicked? It doesn't say wicked, it says the meaning of it, you can translate Reshaim as wicked people, but according to Rabbi Ashlag teachings, Rasha means its initials of Ratzon, Reish, Shel, Shin, Atzmo, Ain. Initials Rasha. It's not a wicked person, it's a person that is focused on his own desires. What's broken in that? This is death. Death is desiring just for oneself alone. Why is that? Because life is coming from the Creator, so you cannot connect to life the moment you are selfish. Okay? That's a broken vessel. However, the vessels are broken in order to allow the mending, the transformation. Broken vessels means that holy vessels and unholy vessels are broken and mixed together with each other. Therefore, a baby that is totally selfish does not die on the spot the moment he's born. Why? Because the broken vessels allow hypocrisy. Again, what's hypocrisy? You mean well, but you behave in a selfish manner. Who doesn't do that? Every human being, even the best ones of them. And how do you mend it? By little, adjusting whatever you think is right together with what you feel is right. And that's how people achieve slowly, slowly, not just, great ideas. Let love everybody. Let's make love and not war. Stuff like this. But when it comes to the individual relationships, we tend to become so selfish, so irresponsible, so insensitive, and that's all of us. And the Torah, the Zohar, it's all about realizing that we are all on in the journey, and realizing that this is a journey, and the pain and suffering we go through is our chances to fix and to man. Now, so when it says, "Ve'atem advekim ba'Adonai Elohim chayim kulchem hayom," whoever is attaching himself to God, how do you attach yourself to God? By what we call the real, what we call is esek b'Torah. Esek b'Torah, which means making the Torah your business, your career. What's a career? It's a system of growth. Nobody is born a billionaire. Oh, if your father was a billionaire, but you're not. It's your father's money, it's not your money. Okay? Nobody is born a great artist. You have to learn, you have to exercise, you have to acquire all kinds of qualities that you have to learn. Nobody is born a great doctor, a physician. Everything has to be acquired. And the process is allowed in a world of broken vessels. If the vessels were not broken, if there was no confusion, if the light and the darkness were not mixed together, okay, there was no hypocrisy, then either you're right or you're wrong. That's not the story of life. The story of life is that you just achieve attachment to the Creator through a long journey of overcoming, solving, healing, all of those verbs that mean never rest on your laurels, never think that you're okay because you already got there, because as long as you live, there is some a negativity, there's some selfishness that you have to recognize, transform, and to heal, because selfishness is very, very painful. Let's go back to what we started with. Moses wanted to be attached to the Creator. He wanted to be connected with the Holy Spirit. That's what he wanted. He thought he could get it by entering the Holy Land. God's answer was, Moses, the level you've reached, you already achieved the utmost level. You do not need the Holy Land as a mean to achieve that attachment to the Creator. Which means, many times we are being conditioned that we need A, B, C, D, E in order to achieve greatness, fulfillment, or whatever we think is success. We have to understand how to set the differences between goals, true goals, and fake goals. True goals and kosher means, which means being healthy is not a goal. Being connected to the light of God is a goal. Okay? Being healthy, a lot of people trying very hard to be healthy. They exercise, they eat health food, they do a lot of stuff, but if you do not mend the broken vessels, which means if you do not mend your consciousness and you're healthy, but you always sour about that person's behavior and that person's behavior, and there's injustice in the world and so on, and instead of working hard to mend it and correct it, which is our job, and transform ourselves by that, you'll always have this holy rage about other people and about how wrong this world is about. Do you know this religion? Busy all the time, hating those bad people that destroy the climate, that destroy the economy, that destroy equality and so on. What are you doing? You're simply putting all the blame on somebody else and you're not doing your job. You're not trying to get close to the light of God. So you mix between goals and means. You mix between realizing what is your job and what are the job descriptions of other people. You cannot correct for somebody else, but you can mend your own broken vessels. And therefore, the goal is to attach to the light of God. And how would that be achieved? Not by being angry about people who are wrong. This is Rabbi Ashlag is saying, this is a very common natural trait that has nothing to do with spirituality. You know, being zealous for the climate, being zealous for human rights, this is a very low emotion that is coming for free. In order to really be a spiritual human being, you have to be compassionate, which means those people that you see that are wrong, instead of being upset about them, which help no one, especially not you, because it doesn't make you healthier. All of those people that are always right and are always angry, holy anger about all of those bad people around, they are always sour, okay? They're always right and they're always sour, and that is very unhealthy. That does not get you to be connected to the light of God. And we all have this problem. We need instead, says Rabbi Ashlag, we need to pray for those people that they will start connect to the light of God and heal, because that is a trait that has to be acquired. And by the way, when you come to somebody with jealousy and holy anger, and you try to make them understand that they are wrong, what are the chances they are going to listen to you? None. What are the chances that you're going to become a greater human being by doing that? None. What are the chances that when you really care for somebody and you see their pain and you try to reach out and to heal that pain, that is the only way we can really grow and fix and correct what really needs to be fixed and corrected. Okay, and how can we do that? Rabbi Ashlag says, pray for them. When we pray, I can pray for somebody for many years. And you know what Rabbi Ashlag is saying? Many times you see that your prayers are not answered. So why did I, you know, why did I pray? Moses prayed, it says 515 times. But what happens, says Rabbi Ashlag? When you pray properly, you get closer to God. Just a second. Isn't that the goal? Yes, it is the goal. So you had a huge gain. You prayed for somebody else. You do not see right now how much they changed. Maybe they did and you didn't realize. Okay? Maybe they will, but you don't see it right now. But what's important is that you got the goal, because your goal is not to correct somebody else. Your goal is to get closer to God. Our goal, each one of us, that's how we correct and fix our own broken vessels. So therefore we can see we have so many tools of correction in this parasha, and we cannot go without reading again and again. I'll do it every year. The opening of the Zohar in Parashat Vayetchanan. Rabbi Yossi Patach, and Rabbi Yossi opened, and he quotes about Moses imploring to God. Vayasev Chizkiyahu panav el hakir vayitpalel el Hashem. That's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. Isaiah, the king, who was very righteous, however, he had the Holy Spirit. He was such a righteous person, he could see the future. And he saw that if he marries, his children will be so evil, they are going to bring so much damage to Jerusalem and to the Jewish people, that he did not want to get married. Isaiah the prophet comes to Ezekiel and to the king Isaiah, Ezekiel, I'm sorry, Chizkiah, And he says to him, you are sick and you're going to die from that sickness. And there's nothing that can be done about it because you went against God's decree. He goes home, the prophet Isaiah. And then the king Chizkiyahu turns his face to the wall and he prays to God. And some people mean that you should pray in front of the wall, which is much more comfortable. Nobody distracts you. However, most of the commentators are saying he prayed from the walls of his heart. And he really gave up, as we said. He thought that the goal is to be a king that is good and he has righteous sons. But that was not the story. You cannot do the job for your people. He could not do it. So he says, God, if that's what you want me to do, I'll get married. I'll just follow whatever you tell me to do. I'm letting go. And God's answer is, I'm giving you 15 more years. Okay? And the Zohar says, we learn from that, that when we really connect to the Torah, to the soul of the Torah, we really deal with the Torah, which means we learn that stuff in order to prepare ourselves and transform ourselves, to get closer to God, everything is possible. Yes, King Chizkiyahu, he thought that his goal is to make everybody righteous in the kingdom and then to raise righteous sons that will become in turn righteous heirs to the crown and everything will be perfect. And that was not his job. His job was to simply do the best he could. And when he realized that he let go, that he cannot control everything in history, because the nation of Israel at that time needed to go through a long road of correction and misery and pain in order to correct it, and he couldn't simply change that. The moment he agreed that the goal, his goal, is just to be closer to God, then the decree, the death decree that was already decreed upon him, disappeared. He changed history. He changed his destiny. And what is Zohar saying? HaTorah melamedet ha'adam lalechet b'derech ha'emet. The Torah is teaching us, the human being, to follow the truth. The truthful road, not the truth. The truth is not available till the messianic days, the days of the Messiah. But the road to the truth is what's important. The Torah will teach us how to come back and connect and attach ourselves to our Master, to our God. Ve'afilo mavet nigzar alav. So then, even death is being decreed over the person. Hakol mitbatel u'mistalek mimeno. Everything. Why? Will go away. The moment we let go and let God, the moment we realize we're here to get closer to God, what will be the result on the physical plane? None of our business. Because, and that's something that we have to learn again from the Zohar, and which is very, very important concept. Verse 33 in the Zohar of Parashat Vayetchanan. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Chiya are walking on the road. Amar Rabbi Elazar, כתוב, ויעש השם אלוקים לאדם ולאשתו כותנות אור. And it says in Genesis, chapter 3, and God made Adam and Eve leather garments. Okay? That is the translation, but that's not the original Hebrew. It says skin. וחיידת היו מופשטים האור, till, so what does it mean? Rabbi Elazar is saying that before that moment, Adam and Eve did not have a skin. You understand that reading the translation is very limited. Umeshiv ken, and he answers, yes. Till the sin of Adam, they did not have a skin. ככלי לבושי יקר היו. They were dressed with precious garments. So Rabbi Chiya said, so they didn't deserve even garments made of skins because of the sin of the tree of knowledge. And if you're going to say that before they sinned, they had garments made of skin, no. And the answer is like this, verse 34. Before the sin, they were dressed heavenly garments, which means their bodies were heavenly. The legend says that Adam was tall up to the heavens. He was shining so strong that just the heel of Adam shined stronger than the sunlight, which means we're not talking about skin, that they had skins. They were not physical beings. Okay? והיו מופשטים, they were dressed, דהיינו בזוהר העליון של זרנפין. They were dressed, which means they didn't have physical skin. Their cover was the upper splendor of Zeranpin, says the Zohar. Okay, and what does that mean? היו מופשטים מן הגוונים של מטה. They were undressed from the colors of the physical world, which means they did not see the blue colors that we see. They did not see the red color that we see, or the purple, or the green, or the yellow, or the orange. They did not see those colors. Haya o ha'elyon mesavev otam, they were surrounded by the divine light. Achar shechatu, after they sinned, החזיר אותם בגוונים של העולם הזה. They came down to the colors of this physical limited universe. והעביר מהם הגוונים של מעלה, and took away the colors of the upper world from them. They could not see the splendor of the upper world anymore. מה כתוב? ויעש השם אלוקים לאדם ואשתו קוטנותו ואלבישם. That what it means, he gave them skin dresses, which means garments, which means we feel through our skins, which means every data that we get in, it's coming from, like smelling, it's from, it's using skin. It's like they say, you know, smell is the closest to the heaven, because that's really connecting the smelling systems. They are connecting directly to the brain. The rest is somehow connected to the skin, even the sight. And what does it mean? We see only colors of the physical limited world of the broken vessels. We cannot see the real universe. So what do we see? We see just illusion. We live in a universe of illusions. Okay? And therefore, our job, by learning the Zohar, by learning spirituality, okay? עתיד הקדוש ברוך הוא לפקוח עיניים שלא יהיו חכמות שיסתכלו בחוכמה העליונה. The whole job that we have to mend, connect, fix, correct, is within the broken vessel, which means when we are deep in the world of lies and illusions, lust and negativity. Therefore, we have in this parasha so many tools of mending. We have in this parasha the reminding of those vessels, of those tools, like on chapter 4, verse 35. Ata oret al adat ki Adonai hu ha'Elohim. You showed us the knowledge, the connection, that Yud Kei Vav Kei is Elohim, that mercy and judgment are the same thing, because it's all good, it's all for the good, it's all just whatever happens to us is just an opportunity to correct, because everything is from God, as there is nothing but God. However, we see, perceive, understand only through broken vessels, and therefore our job is not to be right. Our job is to make it right, to make it feel right, to find the spark of light in every situation we find ourselves in, to be compassionate, to be enlightened, no matter what pain we go through. When we go through pain, to realize that this pain is a growing pain. When we develop anger towards people that hurt us when we were really young, or on the journey, and doesn't matter, or didn't hurt us, hurt somebody else, we are not correcting. We are not transforming. We're not looking at the judgment and saying, how do I turn that darkness into light? Moses could not allow us, because he made the light, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he made it so visible, so clear, that nobody had free will to do it themselves. But you cannot do it for others, says God to Moses. You cannot go on doing it for others. They need right now to create it on their own. The sun must set for the moon and the stars to shine. Same thing, we want to make people around us happy. Okay? No, they have to do it on their own. We can show an example, and by this, they can follow, but they cannot achieve it for free. And we have to realize that. So we have the healing of the 10 utterances in this parasha. We have the healing that you can find in chapter 5 from verse 5, 6 and on. You can find the prayer of Shema Yisrael, the real core thing of Shema Yisrael. Why? Because Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. It's all one. Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, mercy, Elokeinu, judgment. It's all one. So when we say Vahavta et Adonai Elohecha, that's in chapter 6, verse 4. And then when in verse 5, Vahavta et Adonai Elohecha, and again, you love Yud Kei Vav Kei, your God, compassion and judgment. Bechol levavcha, with all your two hearts. What two hearts? The good one and the evil one. Both of them must be harnessed to that connection to God. The whole parasha of Vayitchanan is full of those tools, that of understanding that we are not supposed to see justice. We're not supposed to see how everything is one. Why? Because we have to create it. We have to create it inside our minds and inside our hearts. When we create it from within, we overcome the mask of skin garments, with a mask that does not allow us to see what's really happening. Only when we die physically, leave the body, and without the skin garments, when you leave the body, you can see that everything is good, that everything is for the good, that whatever is good is just connecting to the light of God. Okay, and the attachment and the road towards being there one with the Creator, being one with the creation, being one with the creatures. It's all about completion. It's all about shalem and shalom. It's all about being arousing that state of mind of oneness, that is the correction of humanity. Okay, in spite of the lies that we see with our eyes, we hear with our ears, we touch, all of those limited ideas that, again, you think that that's what you want. No, what you want is to reveal your connection to the light of God. And if you really study Torah and apply it, that's mean lasok b'Torah. And that's how we basically heal all the pain, all injustice, and get basically to where we need to become. And that's the perfect healing. Nachamu, nachamu, ami. The real consolation. When we see the oneness of the creation beyond the physical illusions. And that's what we have to pray for all the time. When we pray for it once, twice, every day, three times a day, more than that, finally, as we do that, we get closer and closer to be able to see with our spiritual mind, instead of being illusioned by physical senses and the physical mind, and by this, we really do the tikkun, because that's the only way we can achieve real inner completion, peace, shalom. Thank you all.